Coming to you from cities all over the world, produced in Aotearoa, New Zealand, this is the Places for Good podcast. We bring you the designers, planners, and placemakers who shape the shared spaces of tomorrow, from stories of the past to visions for the future. We talk pride of place wherever you are. I'm your host, Boopsy Moran. Welcome to the Real Place City Challenge series. For episode 5, we revisit the theme Places Where Play Unites Us All. But this time we are traveling to Africa to celebrate and learn more from the amazing team at Play Africa and their Our Ideal World project. Our guest today is sharing how Play Africa explores the intersections of child development and the built environment is project manager for placemaking programs, Zvichko Kanyuka. With a background in architecture, her work is driven by her passion for supporting children's right to the city through participatory development. Please welcome Zvichko.
Thank you for having me, Boopsy.
Well, let's just start off with what is the project Our Ideal World?
So Our Ideal World is a flexible, adaptable workshop that was designed by Play Africa for children between the ages of 7 and 13, teaching creative problem solving. It was developed in collaboration with local and international design thinking experts. And we really created an approach to help children understand social challenges and how to generate, prototype, and test possible solutions that can be shared everywhere.
Wow, it sounds amazing. And how have you been scaling up your reach with this design thinking process?
So we're currently based here in Johannesburg, and we're mostly hosting in-person workshops with children in and around Johannesburg. Because we would love to reach more children, both in Johannesburg and across South Africa, we have also been offering training to community leaders and urban practitioners, such as your architects and urban planners. And this train-the-trainer approach also extends to formerly unemployed youth, whom we have been equipping with facilitator skills as well. And we're so excited that we're currently in SA and looking forward to just expanding beyond South African borders and reaching all corners of Africa.
Wow. So tell me more about when you really are hands-on and like how the workshopping with the children looks like.
I think what's really exciting me about the hands-on workshops with children is really seeing children break out of their shells and tapping into the playful nature of the workshop and really coming as they are. I really see creativity as a process of just being yourself. And we're really glad that our work supports children in this way and empowers them with a problem-solving tool as well that they can apply in many areas of their lives. And speaking true to the aims of design thinking and placemaking, you know, the people-centeredness of it all, we get to really experience how different communities are through children's eyes. And we get to learn their rituals, the challenges they face, and how those can be alleviated. We also learn some of what they would like to preserve. And often we have either their caregivers or educators who get to be part of the workshops as well. And they share these very spaces with them every day, but they get to start seeing the communities through an entirely different lens.
And is there like an example of where a group of students, young co-designers, creatively found ways to reintroduce play in the built environment or previously hostile environment?
So, you know, South Africa is a very unique kind of context, and a lot of the communities we serve have low resources and are still heavily affected by apartheid special planning. And people really have limited space and limited access to amenities, jobs, healthcare, and they have parks that are really far from where they are living. So we have been seeing this in many of the communities that we have engaged, whether it's in the informal settlements of Malusi in Pretoria or it's in townships such as Soweto. Because of how unsafe the environments children have access to are, it has been really tough to hear the negative associations with nature a lot of children develop. And this is often because the nature that is accessible to them is forests that are, for example, notorious for criminal activities. And occasionally you will find that you have a child or two bring up the idea of gardens as a playful environment. And through the sharing and collaboration that takes place in those workshops, you also find more children start buying into the idea of nature providing safety in spaces that they use. And then they actually start thinking a little differently about how a tree might offer shade, or it might offer fruits, or maybe even just beautify a space that they use. And they start incorporating this into some of, you know, the spaces they play in. And it's just incredible to see that transformation take place in real time.
Wow, it sounds fantastic. So how do you guarantee play for all?
I think our approach to inclusivity is really about capacitating children, educators, municipalities, and so forth with the kind of thinking and problem-solving skills that co-evolve with our ever-evolving needs and communities. What play for all looks like is not a static thing. And we love that design thinking by nature is human-centered and encourages that continual going back to the drawing board and reiterating on ideas or prototypes. And you get to really look outward and understand better the needs and challenges of the people you're trying to serve. And placemaking by nature is also not this once-off creation of spaces, but is also supported by empowering communities to feel a sense of belonging and ownership, such that the continuous production of space and culture is never ending. What might look like inclusion right now might not be so inclusive in a few years or in the future. And we believe that through empowering people with this approach, you're creating a sustainable way of placing inclusion at the forefront at all times.
Yeah, and I think the whole story for Play Africa is showing that the area where the Real Play City Challenge celebrates projects just like yours, and that seem to be small interventions, but ones that create long-lasting impact. The work that Play Africa continues to show the way forward in providing opportunities for inclusive play in our cities and neighborhoods.
Yes, we are truly delighted in the way the Real Play City Challenge catapulted us in all kinds of directions with our design thinking with children approach. And we're just excited for how we'll be scaling this across sub-Saharan Africa. It will be life-changing to just see, to just be able to touch more children's lives.
Thank you. I agree. This has been fabulous chatting with you. And so having you here today has been really great. Thank you for sharing with us the importance of play in building more resilient and stronger communities.
Thank you for having me.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, please share with a friend. The Real Play City Challenge miniseries aims to shed light on inspiring, playful placemaking. If you are an urban practitioner, a placemaker, or a public servant at a city working on playful placemaking, you can apply for the Real Play City Challenge Award today. The Real Play City Challenge is a competition that celebrates and awards inspiring cities and placemakers who create environments that give people time, space, and opportunities to play. The challenge is being organized by the Real Play Coalition together with Placemaking X, and we are now inviting submissions for 2022. For more information, please visit www.realplaycitychallenge.org. Thank you for listening.